Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, it may be time to rework some of those reworked estimates about how bad it is in the Gulf. The government claimed earlier this month that up to 75% of the oil from the BP spill has naturally dispersed. But researchers at the University of South Florida have concluded the oil may have simply settled at the bottom of the Gulf. And a team from the University of Georgia released a report yesterday that estimates that 70 to 79% of the oil that gushed from the well, quote, has not been recovered and remains a threat to the ecosystem, unquote. It's that threat to the ecosystem that remains a concern for Gulf residents because, of course, ecosystem doesn't just mean seafood and wildlife. It means the local fishing economies that depend on them. Gulf fishermen initially breathed a sigh of relief when the well was capped and the more promising reports emerged. Now concerns are back, and they are spreading all the way to local seafood markets in our area as well. One group that is calling for a closer look into seafood safety is the Natural Resources Defense Council, the environmental group that recently joined a coalition asking the FDA to adopt stricter standards when it comes to testing seafood and, as a result, take on a more cautious approach to opening up areas of the Gulf to fishing. We'll talk with a representative from NRDC in a second, but first let's bring in Todd Harding. He's general manager for the wholesale division of Lobster Place, based in the Bronx. Lobster Place also has storefronts in the West Village and in Chelsea Market. Todd Harding, welcome to WNYC. Hi.
Hey, good morning.
Explain briefly what kind of businesses you run. Who do you sell seafood to? How much of it comes from the Gulf normally and how much right now?
All right. Well, we sell, of course, to the public through our retail outlets at the Chelsea Market on Bleecker Street. And as far as our wholesale division goes, we sell to white tablecloth restaurants all the way down to taquerias and so forth. So throughout Manhattan, of course.
Mm-hmm. And how much of this normally comes from the Gulf for you?
You know, it's a very limited amount, you know, maybe 15% of our total overall sale. You know, New York is a very regional market.
How about right now?
Right now, it's stayed consistent, to be honest with you. The only thing that we've really noticed a drop in has been in oysters.
What do you get mostly from there?
Typically, right now, a little bit of crab meat. We're seeing some fin fish, like red snapper and some grouper, comes out of the Gulf, as well as shrimp.
So how would your customers, especially at the retail level, know if their shrimp or their snapper or whatever actually comes from that region?
Well, of course, as you know, in all retail stores, they have to be marked. So basically, it'll say Gulf on the advertisement, or the price tag will say, you know, Gulf shrimp, Gulf snapper, and so forth. So they are aware where, you know, where the region is.
Listeners, if you are changing your seafood buying habits because of the Gulf oil spill, we want to hear from you. 212-433-WNYC, or if you've had a conversation with your local fish merchant about the effects of the Gulf oil spill. Are you asking your local fish store or the department in the supermarket where you get your fish or wherever that is where the fish is coming from in a way that you didn't in the past? If so, let us know what they said. Shrimping season in the Gulf opens this week. Are you going to be buying? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post it on our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Todd, what kinds of questions are you asking your Gulf suppliers?
Well, you know, typically I want to make sure that they're following NOAA regulations, which of course they all are. And, you know, I rely on my guys to be, you know, they're long-term relationships, so a lot of loyalty has been established, a lot of trust, just like in any other business. And, you know, we buy
from reputable guys. Is this the time to be trusting the word of people doing fishing in the Gulf?
Well, you know, NOAA is operating...
And that's the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration of the federal government, NOAA. Go ahead.
Yep, that's correct. And, yeah, their enforcement has certainly been stepped up in the Gulf region. They're monitoring extensively. And, you know, we deal with guys that are reputable. I mean, that's just what we base our whole system on is integrity. So, you know, we trust these guys in that note that they're NOAA regulated.
Are a lot of customers asking you?
You know, I'm getting some feedback, certainly along the retail counter. They want to know where it's coming from. And, you know, we're giving them all the information that we can. And, of course, we stand by our product.
Before you go, do you have any opinion on testing standards when it comes to seafood? Here's Keith Olbermann from his show last night on MSNBC on his take on the FDA standards. Listen.
As much as fishermen want to get back to business, they are calling for more and more credible tests of shrimp and fish, particularly since the FDA measure for dispersants is a smell test. No figure of speech there. This smells like oysters. This smells like Windex.
Do you know that reference, by the way, about things smelling like Windex?
Yeah, I don't know the reference to Windex in particular. You know, of course, they'll say a chemical smell. And I agree. I spoke with a local shrimp fisherman this morning down in the Gulf, and he had the same concern. You know, dispersant seems to be the major question mark. You know, oil's going to smell. People are going to smell petroleum. But I agree. I think, you know, no one needs to take care of that and address that issue.
You think the standards are too lax as they are?
I want to say too lax, but I think there needs to be more, more research. We need more information.
Do you give the fish coming in a smell test with your actual nose yourself?
Not personally, not all the fish.
Todd Harding, General Manager for the Wholesale Division of Lobster Place, based in the Bronx. They also have storefronts in the West Village and in Chelsea Market. Thank you so much.
Very good. Thank you, Brian.
And let's bring in Dr. Gina Solomon, a senior scientist with the NRDC, who's part of that coalition calling for better testing standards. NRDC is also taking part in a hearing today at the Congressional Energy and Environment Subcommittee, looking into, among other things, questions of seafood safety. Dr. Solomon, welcome back to WNYC.
I'm happy to be here.
Are you familiar with that Windex smell? Is that a real phenomenon?
Well, a lot of the chemicals that are in common detergents and household cleaning products are the same or similar to ones that were in the dispersant, which may or may not be reassuring to people because those chemicals, unfortunately, haven't been all that well tested, and there's not a good way of knowing for sure if they're getting into our food supply.
What are you recommending right now at the policy level?
We're not recommending any hasty decisions on the part of consumers, and we're basically pushing the federal government and the states to take it slow, make sure they're getting the science right, and make sure that they're doing all the monitoring that needs to happen and making that monitoring data public. Right now, most of the data on what's being detected in Gulf seafood has not been made public. Less than 100 data points have been made public, and NOAA keeps saying they've been testing thousands. They haven't made any of their shrimp testing data public. And, you know, without that transparency and public scrutiny, it's really hard to just sort of say, oh, yeah, everything's fine, and assume people will take you at your word.
Let's hear from some of our fish-eating listeners. Joe in Middletown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you doing? I went to a seafood restaurant, high-end restaurant. We go to about once a year down South Jersey Shore. And on their menu every year is their most popular menu item is a Gulf shrimp dish. And I asked him if the shrimp were still from the Gulf this year. And he said the shrimp were still from the Gulf. And I said, how do you know if they're safe? And he said, well, he really didn't have an answer for me. And then he commented that last year they couldn't keep that dish in stock. They couldn't keep enough fish in the shrimp in the restaurant. This year, nobody buys it. I got the tuna myself.
Joe, thank you for your call. And that's an interesting situation because the menu actually advertises Gulf shrimp. A lot of places probably don't actually say it, especially when you're buying, shrimp in bulk at a fish store. John in Paramus, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yeah, how you doing, Brian? I'm a big fish eater, and if you go to a retail store, Whole Foods or Fairway, they tell you exactly where the seafood comes from. And none of the fish in those stores in northern New Jersey are Gulf shrimp. They're all from Asia or Thailand and whatnot.
Good.
So I don't see too much Gulf shrimp and Gulf seafood up in the retail market up here.
Do you think that's different than in other years?
No, not really. I just don't think it travels this far up. I think if you went to I know people who went to the Carolinas for vacation, they said a lot of the things that they had on the menu in previous years were not on it, Gulf shrimp and some of the other seafood items.
Thank you.
But I don't think it affects it up here.
Thanks a lot for your call, John. Michael in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You went
nice
to your
Michael
fish...
Brian, you're the man.
Pardon? Oh, yeah, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. I was calling about Gulf shrimp as well, and actually I received some information from my fishmonger, contrary to the listener before. I asked him if there was any fresh shrimp in the area, and basically what he told me was that there's no fresh shrimp coming to New York right now from the Gulf, that everything is arriving imported and frozen, and that whatever fishmonger told me that that they were getting fresh Gulf shrimp was telling me lies. I mean, I don't know how true that is or not. I'd ask an expert.
Right. Okay, Michael, thank you very much. Dr. Solomon, I don't know if this is in your bailiwick or not. You're more of a policy person, but can you answer that?
Sure. The Gulf shrimp are mostly from state waters. And one of our biggest concerns is that the states of Louisiana and Mississippi have reopened some of the shrimping areas without any federal oversight, really. NOAA and FDA don't have a lot of authority to tell the states what to do. And we've been talking with fishermen in Louisiana, shrimpers, who are saying that they're going out to areas that are open for shrimping and they're seeing visible oil in those areas. I haven't confirmed those stories personally, but we've heard them from a number of people. That's worrisome, and you know, it shows that there are some cracks in the regulatory system between state jurisdiction and federal jurisdiction that need to be worked out before everybody can feel confident with the seafood.
So what's at stake? I mean, this may be a naive question, but what exactly are the potential dangers of eating oil-contaminated seafood?
Well, first of all, there's no immediate health effect. So eating a meal of Gulf shrimp or of any Gulf seafood is not likely to hurt you. If it does contain oil-related chemicals, the ones of biggest concern right now are what are called the polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, or PAHs. These are basically chemicals that you also find in soot. And they're a common oil contaminant. They are chemicals that do bind to DNA, and they can therefore cause mutations and ultimately cancer after lots of rounds of exposure. The main seafood that accumulates these PAHs are the invertebrates. So the crab, the shrimp, and the oysters are the seafood that would be most likely to be affected in the near term. In the long term, the contaminants actually change a bit because PAHs will break down, but the heavy metals in the oil will actually accumulate in the food chain. And so several years from now, I think we'll be dealing with problems from mercury, cadmium, and lead accumulating in the larger free-swimming fish.
I mentioned that an NRDC colleague of yours is testifying before Congress today about the oil spill, both seafood and the spill itself. Do you care to weigh in on the question of just how bad the spill is at this point? Do you believe the 75% has been dispersed argument, or do you question the meaning of the term dispersed and how the public should hear that, or the University of Georgia study that claims 75% remains just under the surface?
Well, I'm just the doctor. My colleague, Dr. Swatoni, who's testifying, is the marine scientist, and so she probably knows more than I do. But I think that the bottom line is nobody really knows, and there are still a variety of estimates about how much oil actually spilled. There is the big question about what about the oil that was dispersed because of the use of dispersants? Does that go into the column of, you know, cleaned up, which is what the government did, or does it go into the column of oil that's still out there? And in my view, the dispersed oil is still out there. It hasn't gone away. It's just in very small particles dispersed throughout the water and available to fish.
Dr. Gina Solomon, senior scientist with NRDC. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that's it for today's show. Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, Paige Cowett, and Alan Smith produced this program. We had intern help from Alessandra Rubini, Janet Kim, and Sam Dishy. Our senior producer is Megan Ryan. That's Debbie Fountain at the Audio Controls. Talk to you tomorrow. I'm Brian Lehrer.